Hi, I'm Sarah O'Connell.
And this is Jonah Treeboiser.
And welcome back to another edition of Radio Rotary.
We're coming to you today from the United Nations in New York City, where over 1,600 Rotarians from around the world are here for Rotary International Day. And Sarah, you have two very special guests for our first interview.
Jonah, I'm here with Catherine Falls and Valerie Edward, youth ambassadors to Rotary International.
Hello, Catherine. Hello, Valerie. We're here at the UN in New York City, and you are part of the Rotary International effort. And tell me who you are, your first and last name, and what you do.
I'm Catherine Falls. I'm the Executive Director and Chief Executive Officer of Career Vision Ambassadors out of Irvington, New Jersey, and I represent a wonderful group of young women this particular day called the Irvington Ambassadors.
The Irvington Ambassadors, and who is this with you from the Irvington Ambassadors?
Hello, my name is Valerie Edward. I'm a senior in the program. This is my third year, and it's actually amazing. I think this is our second trip to the UN, but my first. So it's good to see everyone, and it's nice to be in this atmosphere.
It is nice, and thank you for standing in line with me and showing me the ropes, because you are all pros, and this was my first time out. How does this, it's the ambassador program, tell me a little bit about it, Catherine.
Well, it's a partnership of the mayor's office, and we in turn do a lot of career development and strategic career planning with our young people in Irvington Township, and we set them up and put them on a road to be future leaders for the 21st century workforce development.
My goodness. And do you have, are you going to workshops here? Do you have a speaker? What is, besides being here and being in attendance, what are you doing here?
We actually came to partake in and see, especially with Barack Obama now being our new president of the United States, we wanted to come and partake and see on an international level what are some of the agenda items he's going to be dealing with, have some hands-on experience, and let the young ladies know what happens outside of their township of Irvington. So this is truly
so their world is bigger. Their world is bigger than just, yeah. So yes. It is very exciting. We are, yes. Rotary International is the largest service club, and it is the oldest service club on the globe. And there are groups like yours, regular Rotary adult clubs, there are Interact clubs in virtually every country in the world.
It's amazing. That's really good. We do it on a smaller level, though, as a small community, but we're actually trying to do a lot more bigger things. One of our members here, she's trying to have a fundraiser for the efforts in Darfur. So this is amazing for the networking possibilities and everything that we have in store. So it's good to be here.
Very well spoken. How many came down in your group?
We have 5 young ladies and Ms. Salt, like 6 of them.
And then we have 2 of our Irvington Rotary members, which actually were sponsors of all the young people that you see here today. So our Irvington Rotary made this happen.
Terrific. Thank you for joining us on Radio Rotary. And we are back. We are here at UN Day, Rotary International's UN Day at the UN in New York City. And I am here with an international Rotarian. You are?
Yes, I'm Sajid from Rotary Club Rural of Pakistan, District 3270.
Well, you might get the prize for traveling the furthest to New York. Is this your first time at this international conference?
Yes, I'm first time at Rotary UN Day here in New York.
And your club, how many members are in your club?
This time we have 26 members, and we have many projects, service projects. They are community for community development. One of the biggest projects is the blood transfusion center.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. The what? What's the project's name?
Rotary Blood Bank.
Blood Bank.
Yeah.
Terrific. Terrific. Are you the only one here from your club?
Yes, I'm here. Only one here. Yeah.
Are you going to see some theater when you're in New York City?
Yeah, sure. I will enjoy here and see the many things to do. There are very visiting things here in New York City. I've been in Chicago before this. I'm on vacations here in USA,
yes,
with my family.
Oh, terrific. Well, welcome to New York.
Thank you
for coming by Radio Rotary. And we are back with Radio Rotary at the UN at the International Rotary Day here in New York City. And I am speaking with...
My name is Ruchi Shah, and I'm the Vice President of the Rotaract Club at Columbia University.
Oh, my goodness. I thought you were an interactor. Okay. That's a compliment. Oh. You may not think so right now, but it's a compliment. So you're at Columbia, mm-hmm. And where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Long Island, and I was actually part of Interact Club and sponsored by the Syosset Woodbury Rotary Club.
Sponsored by whom?
Syosset Woodbury Rotary.
Okay, and yes. Interact, just for our listeners, is the high school club that you need to be sponsored, as we just said, by a standing Rotary Club. And so it seems that you have gone on in your college career to stay involved with Rotary.
Yeah, definitely. I came to college with the intention of joining Rotaract Club, and it just started my freshman year, and now it's in its third year, and it's going really great.
Terrific, terrific. And how many members are in the Rotaract Club at Columbia?
We have about 50 general body members and 16 members on our executive board, so it's pretty large.
Is it an active club? It sounds like it must be.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We go on an international service trip every spring break, and this year we're going to Peru and working with the Rotary Clubs in Lima.
Oh, terrific. So you are partnering with another club?
Yes.
And another Rotaract Club?
Another Rotaract Club and Rotary Clubs in Lima.
Terrific. What are you majoring in?
I'm majoring in economics.
Terrific. Well, good luck with your college career, and thank you for dropping by Radio Rotary.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, you know, Sarah, it's not every day that you see a tent set up in the lobby of the United Nations. But there is one here with the Rotary logo and the words Shelter Box. And we're delighted to have with us on Radio Rotary, Tom Henderson, who's going to explain to us just what is Shelter Box all about. Tom, tell us why we have a tent set up in the lobby of the United Nations here today.
Joanne, hi. Really simple stuff. We're from the Shelter Box organization. It's a Rotary Club initiative from my club. I'm from 1290 in Cornwall. We're here today to share this project with our Rotary friends at the UN Day. You can see behind me a tent. It's a 10-person tent. And that rather glamorous green box is what it is. It's the Shelter Box. And in that box is enough life-saving equipment for 10 people. So we're here to showcase our project.
Now, what kind of catastrophes would Shelter Box be used, and how do people get the Shelter Box at some place like, say, like the Katrina floods or someplace overseas?
Well, it's an interesting question. Yesterday we put some more people into the Congo. It's the 50th country that we've worked in 7 years, and we're reactive to disasters around the world. Indeed, this morning I got some pictures from our teams in Pakistan. So we're reactive to our disasters around the world. Usually instigated, the response is instigated by our Rotary friends around the world. In Pakistan, for example, the local district governor contacted us on the day of the disaster and asked for our help. And Katrina, you mentioned Katrina. We put 12,000 Americans in these tents in Katrina, in Louisiana and Mississippi. So our work goes on.
Now, this is a very substantial-looking tent. Let me describe it for our radio audience. It's, I would say about 8 foot tall. It is about the size, I would say, of twice the size of a normal house bathroom. And it looks like it's very formidable to put up. How hard is it to erect if you're not a Boy Scout?
Oh, it's really easy. And it's only got four poles, and it's a tent we designed ourselves. You can see it's dome-shaped. It's windproof and waterproof. We've got what we call a pan ground sheet, so you can put this up in 6 inches of water. And the whole idea, of course, is to keep people warm, keep them out of the wind and the rain. And it is what you don't see, of course, is the cover here that we have as well. Very, very simple to put up. We put 700,000 people in these tents in 50 countries, and we've never had a problem with any of the refugees. The odd Rotarian has a problem, but our refugees on the ground seem to manage okay.
Let me remind our listeners, they're in tune with Radio Rotary. We're coming to you from the United Nations headquarters in New York City, and we're speaking with Tom Henderson, the founder and CEO of Shelter Box. Now, Tom, I'm looking at the Shelter Box now, and it's a standard plastic tub, I would say about the size of two big pieces of luggage put together. And you're telling me that tent and all this equipment fits in that box?
Oh, absolutely. It's a life-saving package, and the idea is it's enough material for, we say, 10 people, mum, dad, granddad, 4 or 5 children. Imagine, if you can, an earthquake somewhere in the world, and you need this sort of stuff. So the idea was to have a box that 2 people could carry. And when it's full, it actually weighs 50 kilograms, 110 pounds, that sort of order. And what you see here is the contents of the box. It's a 10-person tent. 10 blankets, water purification for 10 people for 6 months, and as you can see, a sophisticated stove, cooking equipment, pots and pans. The really basic stuff you would need in a disaster.
Well, I'll tell you, this is an astounding array of equipment that can be put in such a compact box, and I think it's another wonderful public service, service above self, as our Rotary motto is, for people in distress around the world. Now, Tom, how is Shelter Box funded?
Well, it's funded by, as you would imagine, through our Rotary clubs around the world. When I started this project, I knew that I had 1.2 million friends around the world. So our Rotary clubs around the world get together and raise funds. We don't get any institutional fundings from the UN, unfortunately, or any corporate sponsors. That's our next challenge. But our Rotary friends around the world go out into their communities, into schools and churches, private individuals. So it's a tough task raising funds these days. But with our Rotary friends, they work really hard for us.
And what would one of these shelter boxes completely equipped cost to sponsor?
Well, the cost of a full box, and we actually get donations from 50 cents upwards, but the cost of a full box to get the deal done is $1,000. Might sound a lot of money, but you've got to reflect on what we've got here. You can see yourself, it's all brand new equipment, it's state-of-the-art stuff. And that $1,000 actually includes the cost of buying this equipment, storing it, packing it, insuring it, and more importantly, transferring it anywhere in the world and distribute it. And you see some of our photographs here of donkeys delivering these up mountains in Nepal. So it's a done deal. $1,000 gets you 10 people some life-saving stuff somewhere in the world.
Tom Henderson, thanks so much for joining us on Radio Rotary, and thank you for this wonderful public service that you're doing through ShelterBox. And we'll be back with more Radio Rotary after these important messages.
This tree was never chopped down because this crutch never needed to be carved, because these legs never grew weak, because this child never got polio. Over the past 20 years, Rotary Club members have helped immunize over 2 billion children against polio. Now we are on the brink of eradicating this crippling disease once and for all. But we need your help. Thanks to an historic matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to make sure vaccines reach the people who need it, to protect the children of the world against polio forever. This is an opportunity to end polio now. Visit rotary.org/endpolio. Rotary, humanity in motion.
We're back with more of Radio Rotary right here from the United Nations in New York City, where we're having Rotary International Day. And I'm going to take this and give it over to Sarah O'Connell, who's got another guest talking about the shelter box movement right here in the United States. Sarah?
Thank you, Jonah. This is one of the big Rotary initiatives globally. And my guest now is David Eby, and you're from Florida?
No, I'm actually from Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, my goodness. So Nashville. Okay, terrific. Not too far. I'm from Louisiana, so we're both below the Mason-Dixon line. Have you ever been to the UN before, David?
No, this is my first trip to the UN, which is exciting to see what actually happens here and to see Rotary's presence here and the Shelter Box initiative. Because we work with the UN so much in the field, it's great to be here at home base as well.
That's terrific. And you know what? Our listeners might be interested in noting that we're the largest service club on the planet, but we're also the only service club that has a seat here at the UN. So that's a pretty big deal. And you have set up a shelter box here in the hall, in the lobby, basically, with all the things that are included that go into it. And as we said before, a shelter box is a temporary temporary housing tent that helps people in times of disaster. So what is your role in the Shelter Box initiative, David?
I'm part of a volunteer group called our SRTs, which is Shelter Box Response Teams. And what Shelter Box does is it sends a team of 4 volunteers with every shipment of aid into the aid to ensure that it gets into the hands of the most needy people.
My goodness.
For example, in early May when the Cyclone Nargis hit Myanmar, we were the first international aid agency into Myanmar. I was one of the response team members that was actually in Myanmar. While we were hearing the reports of no aid and no aid workers getting in, ShelterBox was on the ground the whole time supplying initial aid for 20,000 people in that devastated Irrawaddy Delta region. So we go into the field, we get this aid into the hands of the people, and then we teach them how to utilize it so that they're familiar with erecting the tent and using the cook stove and the water filtration system so that they can survive those initial weeks and days after a disaster.
All of which are included in this package.
That's right. Everything fits into this box, which is 2 foot by 2 foot by 3 foot. Two of us can carry it. Many times the ladies in these developing areas are putting it on their head and walking a day's journey back to their village with their aid.
Now, a lot of times we think that the people in need for a shelter box, for example, are in third world countries or are not in the United States. And I have a Rotary share for you. I'm from South Louisiana, and the first time I flew home into the New Orleans airport, I always wear my Rotary pin when I travel. I went to pick up my rent-a-car, and the girl behind the counter burst into tears. And she said, before anybody else got down here, before FEMA got down here, before the Red Cross got down here, Rotary got down here. And my children hadn't had anything to eat and nothing to drink for days. So you made a difference and a huge impact that was very personal to me.
That's fantastic. And that really is what makes it worthwhile, hearing these stories and seeing the faces of people that are the recipients of the aid as they've lost everything. It gives them a bit of a boost to begin to rebuild again. It gets them out of the elements, the ability to cook their food and filter their water and get back on their feet a little bit after they've been devastated.
Well, David, you are truly a Rotarian hero, and you absolutely exemplify humanity in motion. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Okay.
And we are here live at the UN in New York City, and with me is Jonah Tribe-Wasser, who is a fellow Rotarian and the sitting president of the Red Hook Club, and he is here with some of our exchange students. Jonah?
Well, thank you, Sarah. It's a delight to be here with Andy Sorgo and Emily Bucher. Did I get that right? All right, two exchange students. Andy is sponsored by the Red Hook Rotary Club, and Emily, who sponsors you?
The Millbrook Rotary Club.
All right, now, Emily, where are you from originally?
I'm from Germany and the northern part of the Black Forest.
All right, and what made you decide to become an exchange student?
I was always really curious to know more about America, the culture, and to meet a lot of new people and have great experiences.
What's the biggest difference you've seen living at home in Germany and coming here to the United States?
Well, of course you have to, like, adapt to the whole different lifestyle and to a whole new family, nobody you know. And high school is a bit different, but it's been a great time here.
In what way is the high school different?
Well, you always have the same subjects every day, and school is much longer. It's till the afternoon. And you do a lot of sports in school. We do them outside of school.
What have you seen of the United States so far, other than here at the United Nations and back at your home base, which, again, which club are you with?
Millbrook Rotary.
Millbrook in Southern Dutchess County. What other parts of the United States have you seen so far, or are you planning to see?
Well, I've just spent 2 days in Philadelphia with my... we had a class trip there, and that was a great time. And I'm looking forward to doing the Rotary trip around the U.S. after the exchange year, so I'll probably see a lot.
That's the big bus trip, right?
Yes.
Let's talk to your friend Andy Sorgo for a second. Andy is from Austria. What part of Austria, Andy?
It's called Innsbruck. It's like the capital city of Tyrol. It's right in the middle of Tyrol, actually.
And what made you decide to become an exchange student?
Well, I want to have like the experience of a new lifestyle, learn new people, and yeah.
All right, now Andy, let me ask you a question. What's the biggest difference living in Red Hook from living in Innsbruck?
First of all, the food. And
where's the food better? I bet your mom's cooking is better, right?
Yeah, kinda. I've eaten some mom's food, so. But I like it here. It's okay. And I think a big difference is the public transportation, because we have public transportation that brings you everywhere. Here you need a ride for everything with the car. That's a big difference, and of course the high school. It's completely the different system.
In what way is it different?
It's like the schedule is different. We don't have the same schedule every day. We have different schedules every day. It's different, and yeah.
You mean back home in Austria, you have a different schedule every day?
Right, because here you have every day the same thing. And we got much more subjects. We got like 16 subjects. Here you have about 9 when it comes up to it.
Have you made a lot of new friends here in the United States?
Yeah, I met a lot of new friends here. We have a great time so far.
That's terrific. Now let's get back for a second to Emily. Now, Emily, your English is a lot better than my German. Do they teach English over there in Germany?
Yes, we start English lessons in fifth grade, and then we go on the whole high school life.
Yeah. Very good. Now, let me ask you a question. I want you to be honest. Which school is easier, the one back home or the one in Millbrook?
The one in Millbrook is easier.
Very good. And Andy, let me ask you a question. Your English is also excellent. I understand there's a very special reason why. Tell us about your dad.
My dad was originally born in New Jersey, and he met my mom in Europe and decided to stay there, make kids, and then we came.
Very good. Now, if there was an American student listening right now to Radio Rotary who might want to be an exchange student going from the United States to Innsbruck, Austria, or to Germany, would you tell them to do it? Does it sound like a great program? Andy?
Sure. He would have lots of fun, lots of new people, and a great time, I guess.
Good. And we're going to give Emily the last word. Would you like to welcome people to come over to Germany?
Yes, of course. They'll have a great time, have so many new experiences, and meet a lot of new people, interesting people.
Well, it's one of the great pleasures of being a Rotarian to sponsor marvelous exchange students like Emily and Andy. And I want to thank you both for appearing on Radio Rotary. This is Jonah Treibwasser. We're speaking from the United Nations on United Nations Day right here in New York City.
This close. After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are this close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. But we need your help. Thanks to an historic matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever. This is an opportunity to end polio now. Visit rotary.org/endpolio. Rotary. Humanity in motion.
The Southern Ulster Rotary Club will hold its annual Lieutenant Mark Dooley 5K Race of Honor on Sunday, March 29th, 9:30 a.m., rain or shine. The event will be held at the Plattekill Firehouse just off Route 22 in Plattekill, New York. Pre-registration is $17 and registration the day of the race is $20. That fee includes breakfast at the firehouse and all the runners receive a race t-shirt. Proceeds to benefit the scholarship fund. That's the Lieutenant Mark Dooley 5K race March 29th, Plattekill Firehouse, Plattekill, New York. See you there.
The 1,200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They've taught millions of people to read, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling childhood disease from the face of the planet. But each of those 1,200,000 women and men know they could accomplish so much more if only they were 1,200,001. Find out what an impact one person can make. Learn about Rotary at Rotary.org.
Jonah, this has been an extraordinary day, and I have to say, I am so delighted to have you join our team and to be working with you. This,
Sarah,
terrific.
It's a great pleasure, and it's a delight to be here at the UN and see so many Rotarians, so active, so enthusiastic, so ready to get up and go and help conquer some of the world's problems like polio and bad water. It's been a great privilege to see Rotarians in action here at the United Nations in New York City. And
This whole day started in 1988, and Rotary is the only service organization in the world that has a seat at the UN.
Well, that's something all Rotarians can be very proud of. And if people at home would like to join Rotary and help all our great work, they can go to rotary.org. That's rotary.org. Click on the club locator button and find out where the nearest Rotary Club is to you. They'd welcome you at their breakfast or luncheon meetings. Sarah, tell us about who brought us Radio Rotary today.
Well, Jonah, none of this would be possible without the sponsorship of Rotary District 7210 and the clubs of Arlington, Highland, Hyde Park, Kingston, Kingston Sunrise, Millbrook, Pleasant Valley, Red Hook, and Southern Ulster County.
For Sarah O'Connell, this is Jonah Treibwasser thanking you for tuning in and inviting you to come back again at this time next week for another edition of Radio Rotary right here on the Hudson Valley Radio Network.